living in their own home due to memory loss or aging, Dominion Senior Living is here to help. At Dominion, outstanding physical, emotional, and spiritual care is the standard. The community offers a modern, comfortable place to call home while providing personalized care to meet specific needs. Honoring God through service to seniors, Dominion Senior Living promotes vitality with support when needed. Visit DominionSeniorLiving.com for more information.
Yoder's Building Services is your locally trusted family-owned building supply company, serving the upstate since 1986 with lumber, windows and doors, roofing and decks, siding and more for homeowners and contractors. And when it comes to windows and doors, Yoder's is proud to partner with Anderson Windows and Doors, known for unmatched quality, durability and energy efficiency. Whether you're replacing a few windows or building your dream home from the ground up, visit Yoder's Building Services for more information on Anderson Windows and Doors today.
Craft Stove Store and Patio is here to help your home stay warm and cozy until spring with over 20 burning displays of vented and vent-free gas logs. Vent-free logs will heat for just pennies an hour and even keep you warm and cozy in the event of a power failure. Craft Stove Store and Patio even features the Radiant Heating vented gas logs that have a real fire look and radiant heat. Visit Craft Stove Store and Patio located on 3002 Wade Hampton Boulevard, Taylors.
Craft Stove Store and Patio.
South Carolina and all the ships at sea, fresh off a college football bowl preview show that was, I think, really entertaining. And we're going to talk about that all day. Brad Brownell joins us at 4:40. I watched the Clemson game again. I want to get into some of the details, the specific details of that game with Brad later and the BYU game, and we will. We'll also take a look ahead to Mercer. But right now, my friend William Quackenbush is kind enough to stay with us because we had a couple things to talk about. First of all, Quack, you are so wrong about the Heisman presentation. So wrong. The Pavia clan is going to New York. This is the greatest Heisman ever. They're going to show up in their orange jumpsuits and their shackles, and mom is going to have a miniature version of her pole dance. I mean, it's the greatest thing ever. There's no telling what happens when they announce that Mendoza's going
to
win.
I want Theo Vaughn to give Diego Pavia a hug on the stage and say, "I'm proud of you, son." I want that. And I also, I do want Jersey Shore remake to be just the Pavia weekend. Yeah. I agree with you on that.
Well, I mean, the brothers have been arrested multiple times during the football season. The father was arrested the other day. The mother's showing up in like a shirt that barely covers her Kim Kardashian. And doing the Heisman pose up in the stands to make it even more obvious that she's not wearing anything under the shirt. I mean, it's going to be the greatest Heisman ceremony ever. And it's going to be made better by the fact that Diego's not going to win.
That's what I'm saying.
He's going to finish second. That's where the chaos comes in, Quack. That's where it gets exciting.
You sold me on this.
Yeah, no. Look, I'm always going to be Army, Navy first, but I'm going to have to go. This is the first Heisman I've had any interest in like decades. I mean, so I can't wait for this. I can't wait for the announcement. And I'm hoping that the Pavia brothers have had plenty of time to inhale alcohol before the event actually began.
Are they going to be over under 1.5
punches, like, thrown? No,
well, that's probably fair too. Over under 1.5 like sirens or horns, like graduations.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'm going over. I think they do it twice.
Yeah. Oh, it's unbelievable. It's just a great opportunity. It's the highlight of the football season. All right, Kwok. Now, I know you were talking about Notre Dame in the poll again, and there are a couple things I want to talk about in relation to this. One is, I've mentioned this to you before, personally, we talking off air, that, you know, I'm finally part of a poll, and I almost wish I wasn't. The commitment that it takes to do it properly is more than you think, and it can be annoying, quite honestly. And then when you get into it, you can apply whatever standard you want at the start of it, but with each passing week, it gets more impossible to apply any standard to a set of 25 teams. It's just not possible. And so you wind up having to break what you were planning to do. And I found myself in that situation time and time again of having to break what I planned to do because there's no perfect fit. There just isn't. There's not a perfect fit. There are times you have to do things just sort of based on feel, based on what you see, sort of the old-fashioned way, the eye test. There are times you have to do that. But there are also times that you just have to make decisions, and it's a week-by-week basis. For example, the committee did not do Notre Dame wrong. They did the rest of us wrong with Alabama, but they did not do Notre Dame wrong. And I'll explain to you why I think this is true. The season starts out, they lose their first two games. They lose to two elite teams with a freshman quarterback. One of them's on the road, and then they lose at home to A&M. These two teams turn out to be elite. Miami, meanwhile, wins. They advance. Notre Dame, from that point on, starts basically killing people. Week after week after week, they kill people. Meanwhile, at some point in the season, so as Notre Dame begins their rise, from wherever they felt it, I think they were out of the polls. I think they were out completely after 2 weeks. So they begin their rise. They start killing people week after week after week. They get better. They get better. Jeremiah Love gets better. The running game gets better. They get better. At some point in the season, and I don't remember the exact week, but Miami loses at home to crappy Louisville. That's a bad loss. It's an awful loss at home for a team that's supposed to be a national contender to lose at home in this year's ACC, above all else, to Miller Moss. You can't lose that game. Notre Dame, meanwhile, is again killing people. So they've moved up. They've moved up, and then Miami suffers this loss, so they move down. Miami's still well ahead of Notre Dame, still ahead of Notre Dame, because you're doing it week by week, so you're going to have Miami ahead of Notre Dame, despite the more recent loss. Meanwhile, Notre Dame keeps killing people week after week after week. Miami then suffers a second league loss. Okay, now what do you do? Now what you do is you have to put Notre Dame ahead of Miami. You don't have a choice. Miami just lost two games in league to two crappy teams, to two teams that weren't going to do anything, and so you have no choice. That's the week-by-week process. Notre Dame keeps winning. They move up. The last things Miami has done is they've lost to two ACC teams. So that head-to-head in game one, it can't matter anymore. It's now been trumped in the weekly process of doing this poll. And I would have done the same thing. I, in fact, did. I put Notre Dame ahead of Miami. There was no way around that. Miami had just lost two games to two terrible teams. After losing the first one, you maintain the status quo. Miami's still ahead. After losing the second one, you can no longer do that. And then at the end of the process, if Miami no longer loses, you know, you can get to the point where I guess you then look back at that head-to-head. So that's how I view it. Having participated in it, I did the exact same thing.
This is, because I agree with what you're saying there. It's hard to do, it's hard to have one thing that you say, I'm going to hold this up. And
you
then
can't. It doesn't work.
You can't do it. This is why I'm confused. Well, I'm not confused. I believe the committee did it for reasons unrelated to Notre Dame, Miami, Alabama. I think it was unrelated to them as a football team this year. I believe Alabama was assuredly in because they were left out last year in the eyes of the committee, and they didn't want Greg Sankey whining for 8 months. And I believe they put Miami in because Duke beat Virginia. And by the way, they justified it because a third-party team that didn't play Miami or Notre Dame lost. And so if you want to argue, and I would disagree, but if you want to argue that Notre Dame's better than Miami and that's why Notre Dame's ahead of Miami, I might disagree, but I'm good with
that.
Right.
I'm saying that in the week-by-week process – of having to actually vote on these things. When Miami loses, while Notre Dame is winning every week, we've moved way away from what happened in the first two games of the season. When Notre Dame keeps killing people every week, and then Miami loses twice to two teams they should not be losing to in a really down ACC, particularly the Louisville loss at home is just inexplicable if Miami wants to be an elite team.
And they were awful in a game, objectively terrible in a game.
Right.
That's right.
And so when they lose that game, that narrows the gap, but you still have Miami ahead. But then when they lose a second ACC game in a row and Notre Dame is still killing people, I'm sorry, that's what you have to do. You have to put Notre Dame ahead of Miami. You've moved far away from that game one head-to-head, which was, again, played at Miami, and Notre Dame lost by three.
So that's a strong argument. So then how, and this is what I say is mean-spirited. What the committee did was mean-spirited. They moved Miami ahead of Notre Dame after ignoring that head-to-head for weeks. They moved Miami ahead of Notre Dame because of what a team that neither Miami nor Notre Dame played did on a week where neither Notre Dame nor Miami played.
There's no way
that you can justify moving Miami ahead of Notre Dame based on BYU losing and Miami and Notre Dame not playing.
Here's what happened, Kwok, in my mind. They were getting significant outside pressure to advance Miami over Notre Dame because of the head-to-head.
Right.
You could hear it everywhere. It was being parroted everywhere, and they had to feel it too. They're human beings. They're not secluded somewhere. You know, this isn't a jury pool that's been isolated and told not to speak to anybody. They're hearing this information. They're digesting it the same way the rest of us are. And I think they were feeling a lot of pressure about that head-to-head. But again, that comes from people who weren't part of the process, who don't understand that if you're doing this, if you actually sit down and do the exercise, I promise you, Kwok, you would put Notre Dame ahead of Miami. That's what I did. That's what everybody did. It's what you had to do. Miami, while Notre Dame's winning every week, we moved on from that. It's not an isolated situation anymore. It's not just head-to-head. You're playing the whole country. You're playing game after game after game. And when Miami loses consecutive games to crappy ACC teams, that's bad. That's not good. And at some point, you just have to say, okay, well, these are the latest data points, and that trumps what happened in game one at Miami.
And if that's what they decided, then that to me, that's a fine argument. That's absolutely fine. That makes total sense. I mean, we had a caller today. I said
they should have explained that.
Right. They should have explained it. What they did, though, is they explained it until they stopped explaining it, and then they did a thing that was totally opposed to everything that they said. That's my issue, is that they moved BYU down, which had a better chance to stay put than Alabama because they wanted to move Miami up there because, and you know this too, Walt, just because something is written down on the 10th line of a sheet of paper and written down on the 11th line and somebody else is written down on the 12th line doesn't mean that the same gap exists between them. And yet that's what the committee would have us believe, that until BYU lost, Miami was significantly worse than Notre Dame. But when BYU lost now, because they're touching each other, we have to move Miami. I just think that's logically crazy to point that out.
I think what they did at the end, Kwok, is they manipulated the chessboard.
That's what they did.
I think when they moved Alabama up and the rationale given to us, this was the most disingenuous moment of the entire season, as far as the committee is concerned. When Hunter went up and said to us that the reason that Alabama moved up is they converted a 4th-and-2. And like I said last night, Kwok, that's not a reason to move them up. The fact that they needed a 4th-and-2 to beat crappy Auburn is a reason to move them down. Not
blew
up.
A 17-point lead in the game.
And they were dominated for three quarters. And if Auburn didn't put the ball on the field 20 different ways, Auburn clearly would have won the football game. So there was no rationale by which to move them up. Now, then finally, the last point in my mind would be this. I have lobbied forever and suggested forever that if you get to a conference championship game, you should not be able to move back. You should not move back. That's a bonus game, and it should be treated as such. The problem inherent therein is that these people didn't start arguing that until last year at the earliest, and Herb Street did not start arguing it until this year when it became convenient for him to argue it. And again, he's a mouthpiece for ESPN. There's just way too much connection between these factions for my taste. And the problem with the argument, I think Reese Davis brought up one good point about the notion that you only treat it as a bonus game. He said, but you benefit if you win.
I agree with that.
That's a little bit of a dilemma.
Yeah.
There is a little bit of a dilemma to that. But that's not the real dilemma, Kwok. The real dilemma is they only treated it as a bonus game for Alabama.
Exactly.
They didn't treat it as a bonus game for anybody else. And that shows you what disingenuous phonies you are and how they absolutely manipulated the chessboard down the street.
Well, and somebody brought up, well, you know, Georgia was one and they dropped to 6 one time. To me, it's different if there are teams below you that are winning into a fixed playoff format. If that is true and you say BYU beats Texas Tech, you want to move BYU ahead and drop Alabama for losing? That's cool. What they would have done instead is move Notre Dame up for not being in a conference, basically, or move Miami up for not being in a conference. And they only did that for BYU, and they only did it to get Miami adjacent to Notre Dame because in their little pea-sized brains, they couldn't figure out that Miami and Notre Dame could actually be similar teams if they're 10 and 12. It's like they did it because of these other illogical things that they were believing about the process. They did more illogical stuff.
Yeah, And look, the bottom line for me, and I think for anybody who actually understands football and watches football, and by the way, it doesn't mean we're all right, but the bottom line is, look, the human element was always supposed to be a part of this. It was supposed to trump everything else. They didn't have any rules. There are a whole sort of reasons why they didn't have real rules. But from a human element standpoint, there is no way anybody can look at the last 6 games of the season. No. Legitimate, righteous person who doesn't have a Homer agenda to advance can look at the last 6 games of this college football season and say Alabama played better football than Notre Dame.
Correct.
Or Miami. They just simply did not. They did not.
It's, honestly,
it's inarguable.
I would argue BYU.
Yeah.
I said this. If you're going to put Notre Dame and BYU, similar.
To Texas Tech.
That's right.
But the one argument I think you make for Notre Dame over BYU is that Notre Dame basically slaughtered everybody the last 10 games of the season, and BYU barely advanced in a lot of those games. So they were playing, again, these are all type of decisions you have to make. But the reality is that the team that didn't belong, clearly didn't belong, was Alabama. And, you know, for years, Kwok, they have singled out elements. They have talked about, well, you know, this team's defense really isn't good. They've gone on TV and the mouthpieces have said, this team doesn't have a legitimate defense. Well, one key element of football that's been a key element of football forever is running game.
Yes.
And never did I hear anybody say Alabama has no running game. They rushed for -3 yards against Georgia. -3 yards. If that's not a disqualifier, and yet Herb Street had the nerve to say, well, maybe if Alabama had been beaten down in the SEC championship game, then maybe you could have lowered them. I'm sorry, what does beatdown look like, Herbie? In a championship setting between two alleged championship teams where the point spread's like 1.5, what does beatdown look like if it wasn't what Georgia did to Alabama?
If the McElroy thing, I know we got to run a break, but the McElroy thing where he said, you know, they did go for it in their own territory. I'm like, if the final score was 21-7, you know what beatdown looks like? Not even for a second in the game did you even have was there a remote possibility you could have won?
They had like 60 yards at the half, and they rushed for -3 yards. Hey, Kwok, if that had been Notre Dame who rushed for -3 yards, I'll take a quick break. Are you going to hang a couple more minutes?
I have to go, but... I'm glad we had this discussion on there. This is great. Pete and Rudy, I'm interested to hear what they have to say on the
Kwok.
Other side.
All right.
Thanks,
enjoy
Walt.
Walmart. Thank you, Kwok. Quick break. Walt Tiptula, Red Rage.
Don't let pain steal away those precious moments with family and friends. It's not just your knees, your back, or your shoulders. They're taking away time from those precious moments of life. 2026 could be the time that you change everything. QC Kinetics here in Greenville believes that pain relief doesn't have to come from surgery or pain pills. It's your body's natural healing abilities to help repair and restore what's been lost, helping you move on and live a normal life. QC Kinetics has added a very powerful treatment option powered by the very cells that built in your body in the first place. So no surgery, no pain pills, no long recovery, just relief from you. Schedule today a telemedicine consultation to see if 2026 can lead to a much better life for you right now. Schedule that free telemedicine consultation now. It's a great time to do it. Use your HSA, your FSA, for treatments, call 864-766-8454. That's 864-766-8454 in Greenville and in Asheville. 864-766-8454.
Don't let your basement become a wet and moldy nightmare. It's a valuable space in your home and it should be treated that way. We understand that a dry basement is a healthy basement. Our experts have the technology to keep your basement dry and mold free. All of our services come with a transferable warranty, and the financing is available. Call Canty today, 864-641-0176, or visit CantyCanFixIt.com.
How can you make her holiday truly special? By giving some Christmas magic from Turner's Jewelers. The perfect necklace, earrings, or watch will make her season bright. Choose from a variety of breathtaking collections. Or melt her heart with a spectacular Turner's custom jewelry design. Of course, Santa could decide to leave a dazzling engagement ring under the tree. Your special holiday begins at Turner's Jewelers in the Applewood Shopping Center.
I'm Eddie Bennett. For 25 years, Bennett Equipment has sold and rented construction equipment. Bennett is one of Takeuchi's top dealers in the U.S. for the last 2 years by putting our customers first. And now, Takeuchi is offering 0% financing on all equipment and attachments, along with an industry-leading 3-year, 3,000-hour warranty. As we celebrate 25 and 25, we want to thank our loyal customers for your business and trust. And as always, when you need equipment, buy it or rent it from Bennett.
As a business in the greater Clemson area, you have many ways to get involved with other businesses and the community. Stay up to date with the Clemson Area Chamber of Commerce. The Chamber offers you many opportunities to get connected with the community through networking events, business advocacy, and educational endeavors. Make sure you visit the Chamber website at ClemsonAreaChamber.org for news about upcoming events and information on how to become a member. Let's build a better future together. ClemsonAreaChamber.org.
Tiger fans, crawl space and basement issues are not a DIY project. You need trained, licensed pros who know what your home truly needs and are qualified to do the work. At Crawl Space Medic, our Clemson alum team delivers honest assessments, clear communication, and long-lasting repairs. From moisture and mold to structural issues, we fix the real problem without upselling our fellow Tigers. Keep your home and the air you breathe safe. Call Crawlspace Medic and schedule your free inspection today.
At Estes Heating and Air, family means everything. As a family-owned and operated business for over 25 years, we know the value of trust, care, and keeping your home comfortable year-round. From routine maintenance to emergency repairs, we treat every customer like one of our own. Because when you call Estes, you're not just another service stop, you're part of our family. Schedule your next service today at estesheatingair.com. Estes Heating and Air, family owned, community trusted.
Don't miss out on the action. Arthrex is hiring. They develop innovative technologies to treat orthopedic sports injuries around the world and right here in your community. Learn new skills in a clean, high-tech manufacturing environment with many exciting benefits and campus amenities, including free lunch, free medical care, a new child care center, sports fields and wellness programs, paid parental leave, a transportation stipend, and much more. Check out careers.arthrex.com. That's careers.arthrex.com.
Actual price will depend on product and subscription plan. Featured products are compounded drug products, which the FDA does not approve or verify for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. See website for details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Want a boost in and out of the bedroom? Hims has you covered. Introducing a new 2-in-1 approach to level up your game. Tadalafil for better bedroom performance and zinc for testosterone support. Put it all together and you've got what you need to turn things all the way up. Getting started is simple. Just go to hims.com/joy to start your free online visit. Through Hims, you can access ED treatments, including pills, chews, and more, 100% online. No office visits, no pharmacy lines. Just fill out a simple intake form, and a licensed medical provider will determine if treatment's right for you. If prescribed, it ships free and discreetly to your door. Find affordable treatment options at up to 95% less than brand names at hims.com/joy. That's hims.com/joy, hims.com/joy.
Broadcasting live from the Upcountry Fiber Studios, this is 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
Tuning in from the car?
Flips it for the touchdown!
Stay connected to The Roar after you run your errands using our app or website. Download The Roar app on your phone by searching WCCP-FM The Roar in the App Store. Or tune in on our website, theroarfm.com/listen.
I'm the show in San Antonio. middle of a rodeo. And daddy's hand that you used to hold when you walked back to the car. I'm a sound of the county fair. Ferris wheel kisses high up in the air. A sip of brandy when your soul is bare and you need to share your heart. I'm the words that'll hit you, that'll get you where you're going. So you
so good. It's so good. Text said, I hear no discussion. Pete and Rudy, I'm coming right to you. Text says, I hear no discussion or outrage over two inferior teams getting in. Well, I mean, there's no discussion or outrage to have. I mean, it's part of the system. The ACC screwed themselves in that regard in one sense, but really saved themselves by their stupidity because the only team that had a chance to do anything in this tournament, Miami, got in instead of woeful Virginia, which would have been an embarrassment for the conference when Virginia got crushed by 40. But the reality is that as far as Tulane is concerned, Tulane is as good as any ACC team this year except Miami. In fact, that league is probably better than the ACC. So I have no trouble with Tulane getting in. If they get killed, guess what? Power Four teams get killed all the time. Nobody cries about that. James Madison shouldn't be in the tournament. I mean, they have a great troll game on social media, which is just outstanding. It's absolutely hysterical what they've done, but they're not going to stand up against Oregon. That's going to be ugly. Miami should have never slid below Notre Dame. That's false. It's 100% false. I just explained it. And you would do the same thing if you were actually voting. Again, it's easy to sit there and act like you know better, but trust me, you don't until you do it. When you actually try the exercise for yourself, you'll find out it's not easy, and there are decisions you have to make. And there's no question about that decision. Notre Dame had to go above Miami at one point. It doesn't matter. You had moved far away from game one, head-to-head, at Miami, three-point decision. And Notre Dame started slaughtering people after they went 0-2, and Miami started losing to ACC teams. When they lost the first one at home to a crappy Louisville team, which is a loss you can't have as an elite team, an allegedly elite team. Notre Dame didn't lose to anybody like that. When they lost that game, Miami was still above, and I still voted Miami above, and everybody voted Miami above. But when they lost the second game to SMU and Notre Dame is still murdering people, if you're doing a poll, if you're part of a ranking, you 100% put Notre Dame ahead of Miami at that point. It's inarguable. You have to do it. Everybody who voted in our poll did it, and anyone who had any common sense would have done it. So it does not work the way you think. Then people at the end of the process who were never part of the process, who don't know what it's like on a week-to-week basis, sit there and say, well, the committee did Notre Dame wrong. No. No. If you had done it yourself, you'd understand the distinction. The committee did exactly what they should have until the phony stuff with the chessboard manipulation at the end with Alabama Auburn and that whole nonsense. Pete, how are you, Pete?
Well, so I want to make sure I understand that the way the commission explained it is the week before the last week, they had Notre Dame ahead of Brigham Young. They thought Notre Dame was more deserving than Brigham Young. And they thought Brigham Young was more deserving than Miami. So they had Notre Dame, Brigham Young, Miami. And they said they had never directly compared Notre Dame to Miami. Then, after Brigham Young lost bad and they're out of it, then Notre Dame and Miami were side by side. And then they said they did look at the head-to-head. And that all made sense to me. Am I understanding you to say, though, that prior week before Brigham Young played, you would have had them Brigham Young, Notre Dame, Miami. That's the way you would have had them, or not?
What week are we in now?
We are the week before Brigham Young lost in the championship game, where they had Notre Dame, Brigham Young, Miami, because they said they felt Notre Dame was more deserving than Brigham Young. Brigham Young was more deserving than Miami.
I think that if you were comparing Notre Dame and Brigham Young, one of the things that you would have compared, and look, you're left to do these type of things. There's no way around it. To some degree, it's a beauty contest. Notre Dame had basically been killing people all year, and BYU was barely winning many of their games, barely squeezing by. So they weren't winning in the same fashion. So that would be one thing to consider. But BYU, even when they lost the championship game, only had two losses, and they were both to Texas Tech, who's truly an elite team. Now, I think had BYU competed in either of those games, then maybe the equation would have been changed. But the bottom line, Pete, is they decided that they were going to put Alabama in. And they decided that when Alabama played Auburn. And again, the most disingenuous moment of the entire campaign was when Hunter took to the microphone and said that the reason we moved Alabama up was because of 4th-and-2 conversion against Auburn, which is one of the most laughable things I've ever heard in my life, because you shouldn't have needed a 4th-and-2 to beat Auburn. Auburn was a hideous football team, and you should have hammered Auburn. Instead, they got bullied by Auburn for the last three quarters of the game. And anyone who viewed that game honestly, had Auburn not put the ball on the field 20 different ways in the last three quarters, Auburn wins by 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. Alabama had no business being there. So I guess what you're saying is you would not have had a problem with the committee going ahead and comparing Notre Dame and Miami even before the last week, and going ahead and having it, Brigham Young, Notre Dame, and Miami. And, I mean, sorry. Miami, Notre Dame, and then Brigham Young. Miami, Notre Dame, and then Brigham Young. You would have not had a problem with it, and I would not have had a problem with
it. Yeah, I think that when you get to the end of that process, you know, again, I know it. See, I think they... I think they manipulated the process a little bit at the end to get the outcome they want, and that's what concerns me the most. But I think up until then, I thought they had done the right thing. Now, I do think that because this is a week-by-week thing, I think this is the thing that there are still people who don't understand. Because this is a week-by-week thing, as you're making these evaluations, I think you can get to a point where you say, okay, Miami's now lost 2 ACC games to inferior teams in a row from where we started. That game was at Miami, game one, and we've moved far enough away from that with other data points that now trump that. I think as the season carries out the rest of the way, if Miami wins as convincingly as Notre Dame and Miami doesn't suffer any additional losses, then if they're both teams are in the same neighborhood, then I think you can go back to the head-to-head comparison. Because now all things are equal. Both teams have 2 losses. I think you can go back to that in that moment of time and perhaps compare them as long as they're in the neighborhood. But I really think, Pete, I think the committee was feeling a bunch of outside pressure from people who never participated in the process, who didn't understand why Notre Dame moved ahead of Miami. I think they were feeling a lot of outside pressure as human beings from people who were just stamping it. Miami beat Notre Dame. That's all that should matter. And I think they succumbed to it.
Well, they did take that question from Reese Davis before the last week that, you know, is Miami definitely out of it? Is there any way they can jump Notre Dame even though they're not playing? And he did say, oh, no, even though they're not playing, you know, anything can happen. It will reevaluate. So they did leave it open that Miami could jump Notre Dame, and they, in fact, did. So thanks so much. Have a great day.
Yep, thank you, Pete. Rudy, how are you, Rudy? Good to have you as always.
Good, cool.
Hey, Rudy.
My friend, how are you?
Good, Rudy. I appreciate you getting in.
Yeah, I appreciate you, man. Listen, well, how about this? I'm going to give you about the Dirty Birds last night. Underdog.
Yeah, how about that?
The underdog treated me well. Well, I took a chance on the Dirty Birds last night, and they come through.
Good.
Yeah, I know. When they was 14 down, I was like, you know, I don't know if I've done them a really good thing. But, you know, the line went from 6.5 to 4.5. And that's what made me go to the Dirty Birds.
Yeah. Yeah, good. And, that's good thinking, Rudy. With that kind of late move, yeah, somebody knows something.
I bought somebody's Christmas with that last night. I did.
good.
It was really good. Well, let me ask you about this. Did you see? Is this true?
Do you notice that Rudy gets out of these relationships just before alimony hits?
Well, you know what, though? Let me tell you this. I got my last diamond back that I'm still going to Turner's to pawn. So I'm gonna chunk of change for that thing.
You might just want to save it for the next one, Rudy. I know you say there's not gonna be a next one, but yeah.
No, Walt, I'm 51 years old, Walt. Yeah. I think I'm done. Okay, we're good.
That's early to retire from the woman business, Rudy. That's early.
Walt, I'm good now. I just put up Christmas lights, and that's okay with
me. All right, gotcha.
It's just not worth the trouble anymore, honestly. My daddy told me years ago that sometimes, son. No, my daddy told me years ago before he passed, God rest his soul, but. He told me, he said, sometimes, son, just the thought of it is okay.
It's true.
I think I'm to that point, Walt.
Yeah, I got you.
I think I'm to that point.
I got you.
I'm not going to spend $2,500 on an engagement ring again.
Yeah.
I promise you.
Yeah, that's probably wise.
So if we marry next time, we'll have to get one of those out of the bubblegum machine. Walt, let me ask you this.
Tell her, Rudy, it's the thought that counts.
Well, I don't think I'm gonna have to actually tell anybody anything.
Yeah,
so,
you're retired.
I'm retired. Well, yeah. There you go. Let's deal with that. I'm retired. I'm just a sports fan now.
All right, gotcha.
Well, what do you think about? Is that true that Bryce Underwood is transferring?
I don't know. I mean, if he is, then he's going to be sued because he was in the process of collecting 10, 12 million. What I saw was
he's going to LSU. Is that legit?
You mean back to LSU? I haven't seen that. I don't know.
That's what I saw earlier. Yeah.
Let me look up Bryce Underwood. I mean,
He was at LSU, and then Michigan offered him what, $10 million a year.
Oh my God!
And then he went to Michigan. And now he's going back to LSU.
2 minutes ago, I see this now, Rudy. 2 minutes ago on Yahoo Sports, Bryce Underwood transferring to LSU and four other portal landing spots amid Michigan drama.
Okay.
Apparently it is. Apparently it is.
So he was going to LSU, then he got outbid by Michigan.
Yeah, by Michigan.
Now he's going back to LSU. Is that correct?
That's right. This is a little like the Quinn Ewers thing with Ohio State Texas.
Let me ask you about this. Yeah, Ohio State and Texas. What do you think about that, Walt?
I think that he's going to be sued. That's what I think. I think that they. I don't know when the money is paid or how it's paid. I've got to read some details of this.
Is he going to make more money at LSU than he's going to make at Michigan?
I don't see how, but it says switching it over to Underwood, who reportedly got $5 million NIL contract, is a real possibility. I thought his NIL contract was $10 million or $12 million. I thought that was the...
I thought it was $10 million, yeah.
Yeah, it was $10 or $12 million, not $5 million that's being listed here. So I don't know, Rudy. I would think that, look... This is just a guess, okay? I'm going to guess that his...
Where's he getting LSU, Walt?
Well, look, his side is going to say that he doesn't want to be around the hideous moral decay that was happening at Michigan, and maybe he gets out on that. I don't know.
Would that clear him from that contract?
I don't know. Maybe. It might. I don't know. It's a crazy world. Might.
Well, let me ask you this, Walt. Would him at LSU... How do you view them now?
Yeah, it would change everything because I think he's an immense talent, and I don't think we've even scratched the surface with what he's capable of. Rudy, I'm late. I got to run. Good talking to you as always. Quick break.
It's that time of year again. It's time to start thinking about Seneca's Half Marathon and 5K. It's coming 2026, March the 14th. You've thought about it, maybe made a resolution or thought about maybe doing your first half marathon or 5K. Well, here's your year to do it. Sign up today. And what better way to give a present, too, if you'd like to give a stocking stuffer for the race entry? You can do that. Go to runsignup.com. It's going to be a lot of fun. 313 is a major sponsor with us, along with Henry Ramirez and all the gang at Upstate Medical Association. Our two official sponsors, and Santee Cooper is also involved. It's going to be a fun day. You can check out our website at Race for the Green at Seneca SC Events on Facebook. And if you'd like to know more information, just go to our website at seneca.sc.us. Make a resolution, make a commitment to do your first 5K or half marathon and a relay, too. You can find it all at www.seneca.sc.us. It's Race for the Green 2026, March the 14th.
As Christmas approaches, what every four-wheeler off-roader wants is a worn winch from Clemson 4-Wheel. Right now, they have a select group of worn winches at a special buy. Prices that they can't mention, but you will love. If that's not what you need, they have a great assortment of stocking stuffers, like gift cards, four-wheel items, four-wheel drive accessories, and many more. Come by the store at 10733 Clemson Boulevard, Seneca, on Highway 123 in Seneca, or shop online at clemson4wheel.com.
Clemson!
How well do you know the condition of your home's plumbing system? Are you positive that there's not a slow drip behind a wall or under a cabinet? My name is Mike with One Time Plumber, and we're offering a free inspection on your home's entire plumbing system. We're checking everything out, but here's a few highlights of what we're looking for. The condition of your pipes, the condition of your water heater, the pressure in your shower. The list goes on, and we're going to inspect it for free.
The plumber whose name is his number, One Time Plumber. One Time Plumber.
Greenville has a long mattress manufacturing history going back to 1931 when Orders Mattress Company was born. Today, the fourth generation of the Orders family is still making some of the best mattresses in the U.S. Visit Engineered Sleep's one-of-a-kind mattress showroom on Pleasantburg Drive, across from Krispy Kreme, and find your next mattress. Enjoy free in-home delivery, a 100-night sleep trial, and of course, a great night of sleep. Visit EngineersSleep.com.
The holiday season is here, and Elkmont is counting the days to Christmas with a special sales offering for each of the 24 days of Christmas. Items will be added daily and posted on Elkmont's Facebook and Instagram pages. Elkmont has all the brands you love, like On Clouds, Birkenstock, Extra Tough, Patagonia, Z-Supply, Filson, Columbia, Maui Jims, Costa, and so much more. Elkmont is located in Powdersville and Clemson, or online at ElkmontTradingCompany.com. That's ELKMONT TradingCompany.com. Merry Christmas.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
I'm Chuck McDowell, founder of Wesley Financial Group. Did you buy a timeshare because they told you it was a great investment? That's a lie. Most timeshares can be bought online for a dollar. To find out what your timeshare is worth and to cancel it, call us today and we'll send you our timeshare exit kit free with all your options for cancellation.
Call Wesley for your free exit info guide. 800-691-9999. That's 800-691-9999.
Your home for the upstate's best sports talk radio 24 hours a day.
You guys are the best station in town.
You got the best radio station going.
You guys are the best, man.
We are the Roar, part of the ESPN family.
Well, a woman I love is named Ramona. Kind of looks like Tempest Storm. She can dance like Little Egypt. She works down at the Snake Farm. Snake Farm just sounds nasty. Snake Farm, pretty much it. Snake Farm, it's a reptile house. Snake Farm.
Walt Demtulu Road Rage. All right, we are back. Let me just clear this up because Rudy broke this on me, and I search it, and I see all these things about Underwood transfer and LSU, but there is nothing official yet, just to be clear. I'm reading a headline on Yahoo Sports. This is how the headline actually reads. The headline says, this was 5 minutes ago now, Bryce Underwood transferring to LSU. Then it says, comma, and four other portal landing spots amid Michigan drama. So, again, he has not transferred to LSU. That was actually not a headline. It's a comma with four other potential landing spots amid Michigan drama. So it's rampant speculation right now is what it is, based on the prior connection. It says Bryce Underwood wearing a Michigan Wolverines uniform in 2026 is no longer a guarantee after this week. On Tuesday, the program was flipped upside down, blah, blah, blah. On Thursday, Pete Nakos of 247 Sports claimed the number one prospect in the 25 recruiting class and his team will decide to stay or go based on who the school hires to replace Moore. If Underwood does not like the pick as the next head coach of Michigan, we look at five potential landing spots for him in the transfer portal and starts with LSU. So there's wild speculation about LSU and Bryce Underwood. The part that I don't understand is that, again, as I recollect, this says Underwood reportedly got $5 million in NIL contract. That's not my recollection. My recollection was $10 or $12 million, whatever it was the money he was to be paid. And I would imagine that unless he has already lived up to the terms of the of a one-year situation, that he would be sued if he were to leave. Now, again, maybe claim some morals violation, morals clause, chaos at Michigan. I don't know. We are going to see an increasing number of legal battles. There is no question about that moving forward. That's what's coming in the world of college football. And we just saw one the other day where you have a university who is now suing for $400,000 that they believe that they're owed. And so I think more and more you're going to see this. So far, players have been able to operate carte blanche without any real regulations or anything to limit them in any way, shape, or form. And their movement hasn't been challenged legally in terms of what they may owe their prior school. And I think you're going to start to see that more and more. Schools are not going to stand idly by and watch players be pilfered or leave for other schools for whatever reason. And I would imagine that Michigan would not stand idly by in this situation. Again, I don't know any of the absolute specifics of this situation, so it's hard to judge it now. Like, again, I don't even know what we're talking about. I've seen different figures floated for his NIL contract, and, you know, how is that contract constituted? How is it divvied up? I don't know the answer to that. What has he been paid so far? Is it possible he would owe a significant amount of money if he were to leave? Would it matter if he went to back to LSU and LSU now paid him $10 million? It's hard to know. It's a mad world, and it's hard to know how it will play out. But there's just a lot of just search Bryce Underwood, and you're getting all sorts of LSU speculation. But again, some misleading headlines, and you got to take the time to digest that. I didn't have that opportunity since what happened just happened live. But all I saw was this. All I saw was on Yahoo Sports the header that was Bryce Underwood transferring to LSU. And then you click on it, there's a comment that says, and four other portal landing spots amid Michigan drama. So Newsweek had Bryce Underwood LSU rumors take dramatic turn. That was 9 hours ago. I have something here from 19 minutes ago. Robert, I'll get to you in a second. Bryce Underwood contract catch revealed after Sharon Moore firing. What does this say? Reports differ on the contract size. On3 previously said Underwood linked a four-year deal believed to be between $10 and $12 million. Isn't that what I said? That's what I had heard before. Other coverage said the deal pays roughly $5 million over his college career. Some outlets reported a multi-year deal worth $2 million plus per year with a buyout attached. Well, you know, that would get you back to the $10 million area. The key disclosure from On3 is that Underwood's contract reportedly lacks a buyout. The absence could give Underwood an easier path to transfer portal if he dislikes the new coaching direction. So, I don't know. Maybe he can get out of there if he chooses to. So, right now, we have a lot of rampant idle speculation based on the Michigan situation. We have nothing from Bryce Underwood himself indicating that he's going anywhere. And again, I can just imagine some of the legal battles that will ensue if he does. And again, we don't know the specifics. We just know the latest in the On3 reporting. I'm not viewing anything as factual right now in any of these type of situations. We'll see how it plays out. Robert in Georgia. Robert, how are you, Robert? Good to have you.
Walt, I'm great. I want to go ahead and wish you and Ramona a safe and happy weekend.
Same to you, Robert. Thank you.
Just a quick comment on what you were just talking about. Walt, I'm just glad. I'm not a litigious person, but I'm just glad to hear that they're starting to rein some of this stuff in. I was so happy when Georgia filed that lawsuit.
Yeah.
Because something's got to give. Yeah. And it doesn't look like Congress is going to do anything, and it doesn't look like the NCAA is going to do anything. So the colleges are going to have to take it upon themselves to cut some of this NIL and free reign transfer down. So I think you're right. There's going to start being a lot more lawsuits, and well, these kids are going to have to start honoring their commitment.
We have a system that's completely run amok. There's just no debating that. The whole system is completely run amok. And the reality, Robert, is we're all sort of victims to it, but we don't care. And the reason we don't care is because the product that we're watching on the field is probably as good as it's ever been. It's as competitive as it's ever been. It's probably more entertaining. And so we actually like what we're seeing. So we tend to forget about it, and it just keeps getting worse and worse and worse.
Yeah, but yeah.
And remember honestly, the fruit fly experiment? That's what I always say. Remember the fruit fly experiment?
Honestly, to be quite honest, Walt, I was telling my son this the other day when we got into the conversation about this. I've just kind of accepted whatever happens, happens. I just want to keep watching football. And so, you know, I do wish that they would, you know, have some more consistency in how these players just move around from year to year. But
and I said right from the beginning that allowing for the transfer portal and NIL at the same time was an unmitigated disaster. And it was clear that it was. And I gave ways around that, ways to fix it, but nobody listened. So
it just can't exist at the same time because these colleges can't dump all of this money in these players, just have them turn up and take off after the season's over. I mean, it just can't work like that. But anyway, Walt, if Alabama hadn't been falsely put into the playoffs, would you have been okay with the field, let's say, if Notre Dame would have been in instead of Alabama?
Yeah, under the circumstances, yes. Do I think that two G5 level teams should be in a 12-team playoff? No, absolutely not.
Yeah, that was my next question.
Yeah,
you know, whatever happened to when it was four teams? I heard all the time the four best teams, the four best teams. You don't hear a lot of best team talk anymore.
No, what I want to do is this. I want expansion. I want to go to 16 teams minimum. And if we go to 16 teams, I am fine with the G5 team getting in. But what I want them to be is I want them to be in the top 16 of the rankings.
Okay, so you think that was my third question. How many teams do you have to go to get rid of the controversy? Or do they want the controversy? Because you know how anything involving the media, good or bad, as long as they're getting attention, they like it.
There's no.
So do they want the controversy?
Well, look, I think you're right about controversy. I think it sells. I mean, I think that's why they have the weekly show to begin with. It's to promote college football and to benefit from it. I think that, you know, in terms of how many do you need to go to avoid controversy? I think that's a year by year thing, and I don't think there's going to be any consistency to that. I mean, this year it's clear that you needed to go to 16 to avoid controversy. Will that be the case next year? I don't know. It may not be. I mean, next year you may wind up with only 9 or 10 deserving teams, and then if you go to 16, you're going to be force feeding a bunch of teams in that don't belong. But that's look, all the decisions that this world makes, not just in sports but in politics, everything else, are all always knee-jerk reactions. Like, okay, we started hemorrhaging from our elbow, so let's take some skin from our knee and patch it on our elbow. Okay, we'll worry about our knee later. You know, that's what we do. And I think you have to be cautious of that. I think you have to make decisions over some period of time. And the problem is we don't have a big enough sample size on any of this to know. All I know is this, Robert. There is no pure, true answer to any of it. And there's never going to be. And we need to accept that as human beings because there just isn't a fit. It's like I say, every week participating in a poll, you can have whatever standards you want. When you actually start to try and do it out, and I would encourage you, some of you, to try test this next college football season. Start to do it out. You'll start out with a plan. By week 4 or 5, you'll have to abandon your plan. There's no fit.
Well, see, and give yourself a deadline, too, by the way. But just like the college NCAA basketball tournament, you know, what is there, 64 teams, and there's always still some teams that people cry got left out over teams that weren't as deserving. So I mean, ultimately,
that argument gets thinner the farther out you go. All right, so for example,
that was my point.
Right, if the field was 16 this year, team 17, I don't even know who that is, but team 17 might have a beef, but it's not as legitimate a beef as Notre Dame or BYU has.
Right, right, especially when a team like Alabama gets in. That's what I want to try to figure out how to prevent. How do we prevent their little favorite click teams from getting put in, no matter how bad they look going down the stretch?
Put Kirk Herbstreit in football prison and don't allow him to speak anymore. That'll help.
Or decide it on the field and take the human element out, Walt. Yeah, I appreciate it, man.
Just keep Alabama out every year. That'll help, because they clearly did not belong. And anyone who argued for Alabama had a Homer agenda, because there's just no way to make an Obama argument. There just isn't. And everyone knows it. We all saw the football the second half of the year. There's no one on earth. I mean, look, what's troublesome, and obviously Herbstreit's not part of the committee, but the committee is under influence. Without question, they are. And I think they caved to some of that influence this year in relation to Miami and Notre Dame. But the reality is there's nobody on earth who actually watches football who can watch the last six games of the season and say Alabama's better than Notre Dame. It's impossible. First of all, when you talk about extremes, remember, for years this committee would highlight particular areas of a particular team that they didn't want to be in. They say, Ole Miss doesn't play any defense. They don't have any defense. Their defense is ranked whatever. Well, Notre Dame, best running game in the country. Alabama, worst running game among the teams in contention. I mean, you want a distinct difference between those two football teams? There it is. There it is. And again, there is an element, there was supposed to be an element of human nature with this, and there's no way you can make an Alabama argument. That's the biggest problem with the whole thing this year. Bill and Anderson, I'll get to you on the other side. Walt Tiptula, Road Rage.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson. WAHT AM 1560, Cowpens. 97.5, Spartanburg. We are the Roar.
So you've decided you want to have your garage floor professionally coated, but with so many companies to choose from, who should you hire? For nearly 15 years, Iron Drive Floor Coatings has installed the highest quality concrete coatings all over the upstate. With over 1 million square feet installed and the most 5-star reviews in our industry, our guarantees stand strong. Don't trust just anybody to coat your garage floor. Trust the company with a proven track record of quality work. Get a free quote today at irondrivegaragefloors.com.
When you shop for the holidays with AMPM Farms Butchery and Market, you're supporting real folks who care about what ends up on your plate. AMPM Farms Butchery and Market brings together